see that, guys? A pig.
It's burning. And they drive a lot. So, if this pig consumer body is to reduce its consumption of that item, then world prices will respond. They will feel it. The world market will feel it. And the implication of that is, therefore, prices in the world market will go down. Why? Because the demand in the United States has declined. And as a result of this, there will be a surplus supply of that particular item. Okay? The Saudis and all other oil-producing economies, they have sized up their production capacity on the assumption that the U.S. is, like anyone else, addicted to oil, and they will keep burning it. Now, all of a sudden, there is that change, but those industries have got that extra capacity. Hence, there will be an idle resource, or either an idle plant, which is working less shifts, or there will be unsold huge amount of oil stored somewhere. The net impact is there is a glut and prices will fall. Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
So this is if the economy is therefore big economy instead of small economy or large economy. Then as a result of imposing tariff in the United States will be able to force world prices down and buy those goods cheaper than before. I don't know why they are not doing it, huh? If they made it cheaper for all of us. Okay? So, who is going to pay this impact of tariff? Yes, the American consumer. Yeah? But the producers, the oil producers in the world also, who will now have to sell their goods cheaper than before. Yeah?
Which compensates, again, for American people.
Yes, that's where we're getting now to say. Under such a scenario, therefore, look, if prices were free, if the prices were five, now as a result of this tariff, if prices go down to four, okay? So yes, demand will remain the same, okay, at home, because every item which comes will be charged up.
Okay.
Now, however, whatever is imported now will be imported by at a much cheaper rate. Okay, if we assume, let's say, prices go up as well as down on equal terms, and therefore the daily share and this is 4 and that is 6 less. If this happens, then this area, let's call it H I J, therefore area EFIJ is now called the terms of trade gain. Why terms of trade? Because the relative prices of American goods, American exports and American imports has changed. If let's say the United States was selling computers to Saudi Arabia, if before that computer was buying, let's say, 1 barrel of oil, now the same computer will be able to buy 2 barrels of oil. For the same export, you will be getting more goods. Hence, your terms of trade has improved. And this, therefore, will compensate part of what you might have lost. Okay, terms of trade is defined as price of exports over price of imports. For the United States, therefore, this terms of trade has improved. Its exports now will buy more imports. Under such a scenario, therefore, is tariff good for the United States or bad for the United States?
It's good.
Okay. So the conclusion which we make here is now, yeah, it is ambiguous at best. It depends on, therefore, what we are comparing now here, the loss at national level is what? This area and this area. Therefore, the comparison is now, if this is greater than this plus this, then tariff is good. You see? If the terms of trade gain is bigger than the production distortion and consumption distortion, then the nation has gained in its welfare as a result of tariff. If, on the other hand, the terms of trade gain is less than the loss as a result of production distortion and consumption distortion, then the net effect is negative. In short, to conclude for us, is that for a small economy, which is a price taker in the world market, tariffs lead to net loss. Hence, reduction in welfare of the nation, or social welfare. But for a nation which is large, which is a price taker, that can affect world prices, then the effect of tariff on social welfare is ambiguous. It can be positive or it can be negative. On the relative size of the efficiency, sorry, the inefficiency cost and the welfare gain.
My question.
Yes, please.
Is the World Bank then regulating the tariffs in the United States and the European Union as well?
Is there?
Is there a World Bank doing some kind of regulations on tariffs or putting some rules?
WTO.
Huh?
The World Trade Organization?
WTO. Yeah. Is doing some tariff regulations as to avoid this play by the states or the European Union.
Well, help me if you have a particular example, but as far as I know, the World Trade. Yes, please. Cotton. So what's the policy on that? What do they do?
Well, there's no tariffs in cotton.
In between the two countries?
On a worldwide basis.
Throughout the world, okay.
Yeah. And that was what we read last week.
Okay. Is that WTO ruling?
Well, that was in the article last week, that he gave us.
Did they?
He didn't read it.
Getting old. So the rule in the World Trade Organization is that it's the aim of, if you go to their website and check, it says the aim of the World Trade Organization is to create a world free of tariffs.
So we have tariffs.
That's the aim. Okay.
Yeah.
Therefore, it starts immediately. We will discuss this when in term two. But the aim was immediately after the Second World War, because tariff and such protectionism was one of the things which were blamed for the Second World War.
Okay.
During the interwar period, there was this protectionism where you protect your market, the others retaliate, and it has become the net impact of that is world economy was there. And eventually, those tensions which were created as a result of that led to devastating war.
So we're going to see that later.
Sorry?
We're going to see that later.
Yeah, we will do it, but at least given that we asked it now, Therefore, the impact of that is therefore yes, the world war has ended now. And so many people said, we told you so, you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have punished Germany, you shouldn't, for the Treaty of Versailles, you shouldn't have this economic element of it, you shouldn't have imposed tariffs here and there, all the nationalist policies which followed. And given that it was a painful war for the whole world, of course there was listening ears. And the impact of that is therefore, okay, therefore, we need to create a world of free trade. We need to create a world where there shouldn't be any devaluation or competitive devaluation of currencies, hence the IMF system of fixed exchange rate. And eventually, it was a desire of a world led by the market and democracies. So they managed to create the financial side of it. It's the IMF immediate agreement. The IMF and the World Bank was more or less immediate agreement. Except a few clauses which later had to be, at least on the capital control, I think it took up to the 1970s to be implemented, but it was part of the framework, a world of free. Now, on goods, they could not do it, because the initial proposal was to create a World Trade Organization. But they couldn't agree, because nations were so addicted that the whole policy of what does a government do? A government taxes imports. That was the accident, one of the jobs of government. And people couldn't imagine a government surviving without doing those things. So as a result of that, instead of having the World Trade Organization, the agreement became, okay, let's go then to this, what they call GATT negotiations, General Agreement on so it took nation by nation on bilateral basis, and if you have done it for one, then do it for others as well. For it took us almost 40 years till it led. It was in 1995, World Trade Organization was established, the WTO. Hence, the WTO's policy, therefore, to create a world of no tariff. That's what, if you go to their policy, to say that's the aim. But the way they do it is through negotiations. If Europe imposes some tariff, then all what the United States could do is go to the World Trade Organization, make its case, but winning it therefore implies, okay, the United States therefore can retaliate legally.
I think there was a big example was
So in other words, the Americans are not going to invade Europe if we put tariff on them. Well, what they do is, okay, you can also do the same thing, but you are the good guy, therefore what you do is legal, because they have been naughty people. That's how the World Trade Organization operates, because it hasn't got any of its own army or anything. At the end of the day, it is national interests through negotiations which take place. That's why it takes very long discussions, even sometimes to wear down all those small countries because they couldn't pay the hotel bill for their delegation and therefore they go back. It is to that level. No African nation can keep its delegation in Geneva because that is the whole education budget of, let's say, Kenya or any small average country. So they're okay, whatever is there, then we'll have to accept it. While here, when they go there, it's not only the minister which is going, but every company which there is, every hotel is booked. And the longer you keep it, the more those noisy equal partners, you know? Although big flags, they started going down and down. And, okay, negotiate on my behalf and you go. That's how the system as it is now. Okay. That's why big corporations still get their way in the process. But in general, the process is. Why did I go into all this? Because you mentioned the word regulation.
Yeah,
there was a regulation. There is nobody which regulates trade. Even the WTO cannot do it. All what it does is it arbitrates. But at the end of the day, it has to rely on naming and shaming. I think that's the best they can do, from what they can gather. And okay. that's with terms of trade, again. And if the large nation can be positive or negative. We discussed this already. What we have, all what we say is area B, D are what we call the efficiency loss. We have subdivided consumption distortion, production distortion, and the rectangle E is the terms of trade. Okay. This, if the terms of trade gain exceeds the efficiency loss, then the national welfare will increase under tariff at the expense of foreign countries. However, this analysis assumes the terms of trade does not change due to tariff changes by foreign countries. In other words, the foreign countries do not retaliate. Okay. If they retaliate, this will be cancelled with a thing. Because the assumption here is what? Price of your imports, yeah, will increase while price of your exports will remain the same. But if they retaliate and they can make the price of your exports also go up, then it will nullify it. Because they can also increase tariff, as you can do it. The European Union can do it, but I don't think Seychelles can do that, or Madagascar, or any small country that you can see. Okay? For other countries, they will have to live with it, take it, and suffer from it. But if this is the United Nations, sorry, if this is the United States and Europe, or Europe, the United States and China, then nobody will be allowed to get away with it, for they can retaliate. If they retaliate, then we are back to where we were. Okay, this cancels as a result of that, and therefore both nations will have a diminishing trade amongst themselves. Okay, if one does it on oil, then the other one can do it on computers. So in the world market, there will be less oil traded, there will also be less computers traded. And you can see the shape here. An economy going like this. We have started here, now we are going smaller and smaller. No one has the dot. That's what the tension of the interwar period before the Second World War, that's how it's explained. Because you take action, then the others retaliate, and on balance, then the world market becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And each time the world market gets smaller, it means people, like what we see in Italy or in Greece, people protesting because they are losing their livelihood. When people reach that level, they are vulnerable to any measures. Find someone to blame and bomb each other. Yeah. As simple as that. However simple we may look, when we are threatened, we behave the way like all animals do. And so, it is the comparison between these two. Now, any questions before we do export subsidy? Clear, guys? Okay. So export subsidy is, as the name indicates, instead of, up to now we are saying you will discourage foreign goods from coming to your economy. That's what you have been doing for this tariff on imports. Now, this is about on the producer's side, the producing country, encouraging its producers to export more abroad and giving them incentive to do that. In other words, if you produce goods here and sell it in the UK, then you get nothing, or probably even you pay back wages. But if you sell it abroad, you get money per year. Sell these goods abroad, and we'll pay you more. That's what we mean subsidy for each item that crosses Dover. You get money in your bank. That's what subsidy means. It can be done per unit, as we said with tax, or it can be done on value. Okay. It could be specific tariff or ad valorem tariff. What's the impact? Export subsidy, if you get paid to take it abroad, economics will tell you what? Sell it at home or sell it abroad? Sell it abroad, believe me. So which means there will be shortage of that product at home. Yeah? For the same demand, the supply to the local market will decline. Prices will go up. Price of those products will go up in the domestic market. So the impact of this is the same as in tariff for consumers, because it reduces, by discriminating between domestic consumers and foreign consumers in favor of, then the government ends up creating shortage and higher prices. Therefore, consumer surplus declines. As prices go up, consumer surplus declines. On the other hand, because of the incentive for producers, that producers will produce more and sell it more abroad. That means that producer surplus will increase. Good for producers, bad for consumers. What about for the government? Bad. Because the government, at least in tariff, they were getting paid. Now the government is going to pay. Yeah?
But what's the reason to do that?
The reason is the common agricultural policy. Why do we pay the farmers in Europe?
To build a strong industry.
I
imagine you might want to do it if you wanted to build an export industry.
Yes.
So to encourage other countries to buy your goods, because you're basically making it cheaper for a certain group of consumers to buy your products, and therefore they'll want more of the product and you produce more.
Yeah. Therefore, there is a position taken on saying, we don't want to consume this product at home, we would rather sell it abroad, and therefore the intention is foreign currency is much better than the calories or whatever people gain by consuming that particular product. That's what China is doing effectively.
Do you know an example?
Sorry?
Do you know an example?
Don't we sell good food abroad from Europe?
Do we subsidize?
Of course we do. How do these farmers live in the rural area?
Oh. Yeah, but it's not an export subsidized. It's a normal subsidized.
I believe there is. That normal subsidy, which they get.
For every unit export, they get.
They are
for every unit produced, whatever.
Sometimes the government buys at a higher price, doesn't it? The government buys it if there is a glut in the market, the excess product, the government collects it, doesn't it? Am I right? Yes, there is a reserve system which.
In farming, they call it intervention payments in Europe. So if you produce too much, the government will intervene and buy up the market to prevent a glut domestically. I'm not sure if it still happens. It used to.
Okay.
But that's not an export.
It's just intervention to the market.
And usually these products which the government collects, they are dumped to Africa. So I saw the gift of EU.
Oh, we do it with tomatoes. I know. I think either Spain or Italy used to do it with tomatoes to South African countries, which then pushed the domestic African producers of tomatoes out of the market because it's cheaper to buy imported European tomatoes.
Yeah, either it is sold or it is given as aid or etc. But overall, that item taken by government is available for the world market. If you want to compete at the world market, also you are competing from a subsidized position. The impact still remains the same. Yeah, guaranteeing certain prices. And in other parts of the world, yes, it is done. It's done by this export promotion policy. Okay, some nation state, there is what we call import substitution and export promotion. most of the Southeast Asian economies, their development was based on this, targeting foreign markets, and therefore, if you are producing goods for export, then you get special treatment, support, access to credit, access to, in some cases, direct cash money.
I can understand in technological industries, you subsidize computers, exports, you develop, modernize your industry, it would be secondary industry that can grow.
That can follow from it.
If your farmers are in the government, if your farmers are in the government,
why your farmers are in the government? We've done that.
Would an export subsidy prevent price collapse at home? So if a farmer because he overproduces, say milk or tomatoes, and you give an export subsidy to push it to another country cheaper, would that result in keeping the price at home up? So it's basically to protect the farmers from suffering a price collapse.
Yeah, but it's their fault, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shouldn't they collapse?
Well, I suppose
that's what the market says.
But the European Union post Second World War has pursued a policy of agricultural overproduction, should we say? Because for various political reasons we wanted to be able to support ourselves.
And support the fish in the
which
needs some food.
There are all sorts of things.
Do you get the point that the main point is, I'm sure you can integrate it, the main point here is now export subsidy pushes prices up at home, and because of this competitive advantage which you are giving to your producers, then they will be able to sell this product in the international market at a cheaper price. Because part of their cost they are covering it. They want, there is competition, and therefore there are other goods they can afford these people to sell it at a lower price. So the net impact is therefore reduce prices in the world market, increase prices at home. The government loses money because it's transferring money. The consumers lose because they pay higher prices, and producers gain handsomely.
Actually, as you mentioned, if government say support the, for example, like computer industry by helping the research investment, in such a case, actually the country or government easily get a high return in a few years later, and so that means everything is okay for this country. Yes.
I agree. I'm just trying to say the only way that I can teach this course is by making assumptions. For in the long term, may or may not, is the government the best judge of the technology?
Yeah, so especially like
some people may say, these are just bureaucrats, because some guys have really lobbied properly, and they say, my industry is the future and I deserve support, because they are noisy. And they got that support. That's why they succeed.
Yeah,
and if you are a French farmer, all what you need is bring the tractors, off the road.
Yeah, and that is like very different from farm industry, farmers, because the actually right now every country or every government try to think about, as you mentioned, which industry the government need to invest, and the clever or coolest government win. That's the case.
Yeah.
And how about the Britain? What kind of industry the government try to invest right now?
We sell insurance, no?
Insurance.
Yes.
No, okay. Can I answer that? I'm probably the oldest in the
room. Please, yes.
So I know some of the history that perhaps you don't know. I mean, in the 60s, we had, in the 70s, we had enormous industrial relations problems. Lots of strikes, making it very expensive to produce cars, for instance. And the government subsidized car manufacturing, in fact, nationalized it.
Mm-hmm.
And still failed. I mean, it was very, very difficult to produce cars.
Mm-hmm.
Until in the 1980s, Margaret Thatcher came along and introduced industrial relations reform and they stopped the strikes, but the industry disappeared from it.
Yeah.
So we now manufacture Japanese cars.
Yeah.
Even in Japan, they try to find out which industry should be invested by.
Well, right from the beginning.